Why do we celebrate? What's the whole point of having the birthday box? It's to celebrate your birthday, yeah? So today, we're celebrating something else today, aren't we? What are we celebrating?
Jesus!
We are celebrating Jesus, yeah? What about Jesus?
He died on the cross.
He did die on the cross, and then he... And then he...
Rose up.
And what does that make him? Dead or alive?
Alive.
Alive. Right, so that's what we're celebrating today. So first of all, let's have some chocolates to celebrate that Jesus is alive. That's so much better than celebrating birthdays, even though it's really cool to do that. Lads, check them out. Here you go, look at this. You're not going to want your dinner, are you? Not that much. Here you go. Okay, so normally we gather at Easter to talk about the stories, and we've heard some of those scriptures today, which has been awesome. But today I want to talk to your heart about Easter, something a little bit different. And I don't know about you, but for Easter for me, it's that time of year where it really shakes me and it wakes me up a little bit more. Because in our walks with God, we get a little bit complacent. We take for granted the price that was paid. Our walks with God just go. And, you know, for me, Easter, we lock eyes with the cross. We lock eyes for the cross and we count the cost of our sin. But even more than that today, we marvel at his resurrection, the promise of new life. And this is one that I don't think we've put enough airtime into, and the fact we don't have to fear death. No fear. And have you ever really thought about that? And the other thing, predominantly, you know, the resurrection is just a cornerstone to our faith. We all know that, but because without the empty tomb, we might as well go home. We literally, you know, this is just a meeting. Because the resurrection makes the difference in our lives, each one of us can testify to the difference that this risen Jesus has made in our lives. The cross without the resurrection, as you know, would only be the death of a good man. But the resurrection says he was more than just a good man, that he was the risen Christ. He was the risen Christ, our Lord, our Saviour, and friend. And the other thing I want to touch on as well, the resurrection isn't just a historical fact either. We're all here celebrating because we know Jesus. And we know that he can be experienced today. And... See what it is? Oh, bless him. It's okay, we'll correct him. And that experience changes lives. This is better than I thought, to be honest. I was getting ready to kick him back. Today's message probably isn't the most conventional Easter message, because you normally get into the storytelling and things like that and just reminisce. But I want you to turn with me to Mark 14, 32 to 40. And we are looking at this moment in history that Jesus was preparing to give his life for you and for me and for whosoever that put their faith and trust in him. Yeah, it's Mark 14, 32 to 40. I thought it would be good to stay with Mark as well, seems we're doing that too. And it starts this way. They went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, "Sit here while I go and pray." He took Peter, James, and John, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little farther and he fell to the ground and he prayed that if it was possible that the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. "Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned and found the disciples asleep. He said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Can you even watch me for 1 hour? In other words, can you just do this one simple thing? Keep watch and pray so you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Then Jesus left them again and prayed the same prayer as before. And then when he returned to them again, he found them sleeping. For they couldn't keep their eyes open. And they didn't know what to say. They didn't know what to say. I love how human the gospel is. And we know there's 100% by grace that we are saved. It's not by our works. It's not by our effort. Just like these disciples, sometimes our best isn't good enough. And that's hard for us to take. And I just really felt that there are people here today that might want to need to hear that, that your best won't be good enough. Just like these disciples. But we serve a God that gets that. And Jesus, he understands that. How many in here have needed another chance like these disciples? And how many of you blew it again? Just like these disciples. We can feel so unworthy or even so in awe of the price of our sin. And just like these disciples, our words perhaps sometimes fail us. We run out of excuses. And if you've been around long enough in Christian circles, some people even run out on Jesus. The end of the scripture says, and they didn't know what to say. There is good news for us. Jesus doesn't want perfection from us. He died on the cross to provide that perfection that we needed. He gets it. He gets you. He wants you exactly the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. I just can't get over that. And they did not know what to say. And you can basically put yourself in that situation. All of us can. How we come before a holy God, even at Easter. And why would you want a wretch like me? But he does. But he loved me too much to leave me the way he was. He's got plans to prosper me and bless me. And I'm trusting in that this Easter. This Easter, words might fail you. But even if our words fail us, like these disciples, Jesus never did. Jesus never has. And Jesus never will. And what I really love about the resurrection is it rubber stamps the deal for us as Christians. In Romans 6, 5 to 8, it says, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. Jesus' death and resurrection is proof that, for me, that he's not going to drop me halfway. He is totally and fully committed to me in every situation and circumstance. He didn't do all that just to drop me halfway. And that's why you can put your trust in Jesus today. Hebrews 2:10 says, God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. You see, the resurrection really validates the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm mindful this Easter that all over the world, all over Britain, you know, people will be representing Jesus in many ways and presenting him to congregations. But I want to say today, don't just seek an emotional Jesus. Don't just seek an historical Jesus even, or even a religious Jesus, or even a moral Jesus. The only Jesus we can put our hope in today is a risen Jesus. And what I love about this risen Jesus, he has to fight so hard for our hearts, but he wins. I like what Nathan said last week, that Hill City is a church that gets it. I like that. And the whole thing about Easter today and this message is, do you get it today? So it's so important you do. And it is really simple. Because Jesus lives, and we put our hope and our trust in him, so do we. It's that simple. Right here, right now, today, and for eternity. And that's our guarantee for Easter. I'm not going to say it. The reason being, it is that simple. I'm going to go over that again. Because Jesus lives, and we put our hope and trust in him, so do we. Right here, right now, today, and that promise is for eternity. So let's just pray. That is that simple. Jesus, we are thankful and we are joyful people before you today. We are lost for words of gratitude, just like your disciples. Nothing changes, Lord. We fail you, Lord. We mess up. We even abandon you sometimes. But you still went to the cross for us, Lord. And on the third day, what we're celebrating today, you rose again for us, Lord. And it's all to give us life and life in the full. There are no words to tell you, Lord, how much we love you, how thankful we are. We are a chosen people, Father God, that has the good news. And Lord, I just pray at least a time you'll just equip us and inspire us and encourage us again and ignite that fire in our hearts, Father, as we progress through the rest of this year to reach people who don't know you, Lord. Amen. And I suppose if you're here today and you don't know Christ, I suppose Easter period is a good plot time because there's lots of people then that didn't believe in what was going on. Sometimes, it's a bit shaky, it's a bit surreal. And a lot of people said back then, show me Christ and I will believe. But God says, for all practical purposes, believe and I will show you. That's how it works. If that's you, and you're not sure if you've met this risen Jesus, because sometimes we can believe a concept and not know him, then obviously there's plenty of people in here who'd love to speak to you about it. Di, Jeff, Jim, anyone who knows Jesus can lead you to him. And Lord, I just pray for those people whose hearts have been stirred a little bit from the message. I know it's a bit chaotic on a family service, but Father, we are just here to lift you up, Father God, and thank you for all that you've done. And give people the opportunity to respond to you, Lord. So Father, I just thank you for that. I just thank you for the invitation, Father. And I pray that you just, right now you just start stirring hearts to think about you and have those conversations with people this week to move them into a relationship with you. Amen.